Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Back into the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. And joining me, as always, right here on a Wednesday, would be Colton Denning, owner of Two Stripes CPD, also owner of his own YouTube channel, youtube.com/Colton Denning. Go check it out and subscribe to both Onyx Dubsco. Colt, what's happening, man? How are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, Gabe. I got sick again, man. I have the worst immune system in the United States of America, so I'm just grinding through it. But I'm out in Colorado with my parents, so you can't beat that. I wouldn't trade that for the world.
Do you have any overwhelming sports Christmas wishes before we get into the college football talk?
Sports? Can it be anything?
It could be anything. No, you're a hockey fan. I don't know.
The Avs win the cup on the positive side. I guess on the negative side, like the Michigan gets kicked out of FBS. I don't know. Maybe let's go with that one.
Well, who's Michigan going to hire? That's a fun one. Biff Pogge making a case.
Biff Pogge, baby, let's do it. I'm all for it. Come on, Biff Pogge.
He can manage things. He was a hedge fund manager. He founded his own hedge fund. He's a rich guy.
That seems like it's right up the alley of what a Michigan man is. You know, the last what better than Biff Pogge saying, "Hey, the last 5 years of this operation have been a total disaster and a mess." And when Jim Harbaugh was there, him being like, "Yeah, Biff Pogge's my right hand guy." Yeah. So it's kind of just like looking in the mirror, being like, "What's the problem here? We know what it is."
Yeah, but they need to rethink everything. I did like what he said. I thought it was dead on. I'm sure you agree.
Yeah, you. Well, I think looking at it objectively, I think he's right about it, but you're also talking about a guy who was there for all of that, kind of like you're in the kitchen for everything being spoiled, and now you're saying, like, the kitchen's been spoiled. We got to get rid of everybody who's done this, except for me. I'm the guy to fix it.
I got you. I feel you. All right. Overwhelming college football playoff discussion. Should we play these second-round games at home? And I know that the Bulls would have a problem with that. They want the local economy stuff. They want all their money. But should these be played at home? Feels like they should.
Yeah, I think so. When you look just at this year's matchup, like it's matchups, it's cool that Indiana and Alabama are playing in the Rose Bowl. Like that should be really awesome. Who would have ever thought, you know, you go back 10, 15 years ago, be like Indiana and Alabama, Rose Bowl. You never would have guessed that. And it's cool, but you also realize, okay, whoever wins, then they're going to either, you know, Miami or Arlington or wherever the next series of games are. So now you have these multiple layers of these these neutral site games. And I know that Dan Lanning talked about that this week, of saying one of his main problems with the college football playoff format was the fact that Texas Tech, they have this great season. They go 12-1 and win the Big 12, and they get the bye, but their first game is in the Orange Bowl. So to me, you add up the travel with what fans have to do and just rewarding teams. And yeah, I think that these second round games, it would be really cool to see them being played on campus rather than at neutral sites.
Is it a disadvantage for the teams that get a bye? Because like, it kind of feels that way. You know, they have this great season, then they get rusty going into round two. They take a month off between games, and they don't get a home game.
It depends how the matchups stack up. Like, there isn't one this year, but you look at Georgia, Ole Miss, and both those teams are Southern, and they're playing in the Sugar Bowl. But how many times have you seen, like, oh, Georgia, they get to play in Atlanta that first round? It's like whenever the NCAA tournament comes around and Duke is a 4 seed, and they're like, yeah, we're sending Duke to Greensboro, just so we can get that off and Duke can be in front of their fans. So to me, there isn't like a huge advantage this year, but we've seen it in the past where, you know, Georgia, Ohio State play in Atlanta, or, you know, some of these other games where you have the proximity. So it doesn't seem as much of a problem this year, but it definitely has potential to be that. And if you just want to go all the way with it, why don't you just reward the teams who are the higher seeds by giving them an on-campus game and have those atmospheres into December and, I guess, into January at this point?
I'm with you. I enjoy the first round at the home sites, even though it didn't matter for Texas A&M. I seeing Ole Miss versus Tulane, that was a really cool atmosphere at Vaught Hemingway right here in our listening area. You know who ultimately would not let this happen, though? The Rose Bowl. They're impossible to work with. So I would imagine the Rose Bowl would never, ever, ever make any concessions, because they never have.
They never have, and I think the one carrot maybe that you could dangle out to them would be, like, they get the national championship once every 3 years or something, and who would be opposed to that? If you had the Rose Bowl as the national championship once every, I don't know, 3-4 years, I don't know what the rotations look like.
Well, hear Joel Klatt's take?
No,
he said it should be the national championship every single year, which I'm like, that's just, come on, dude.
That would just never work, and I'm a guy who I've been to the Rose Bowl. I haven't been to the Rose Bowl game, but it's just such a wonderful experience. As much of a nightmare as parking is and getting around is, it really is iconic. But having it be there every single year, that's way more than a fantasy that's completely unrealistic. But I think having it be in the rotation a little bit more than it is, like, I don't know how you feel, man. I don't need to see the national championship in Miami. I went to the national championship last year in Atlanta. That's an awesome stadium, but I'm sick of seeing all these big-time games there every single year. I think we could have a little bit more diversity in where these games are played, and having the Rose Bowl be more of a major factor. Maybe I'm just old school, but I would like that.
I got to play in the Rose Bowl twice, believe it or not. That was fun.
Ooh,
yeah,
it's a beauty.
I'll tell you, it's beautiful. The grass. Do you know about it? The grass is the softest you'll ever play on. It's unbelievable.
You can just see it from television, so I can only imagine what it's like to play on.
Yeah, so it's great. It's absolutely great. You know, transfer portal right now, looking at all these quarterbacks. I think we had this discussion before. Obviously, the transfer portal is wild and probably eventually need to get a hold of it. But I have this take that I've been working on and workshopping, and I want to run it by you. The quarterbacks getting in the transfer portal, to me, is an interesting wrinkle to today's day and age in college football, because it feels like it adds a little bit more. And a lot of these transfer portal quarterbacks end up having a lot of success at the place they go. 6 of the last 9 Heisman Trophy winners have been transfer quarterbacks. So how do you feel about that?
I'm fine with it. We did have this discussion last week, not to totally blow your cover here, but no, I'm totally with it. I think that when it gets to a point where, like, the Trinidad Chambliss thing, like, it wouldn't make me completely upset if he got another year. But when we start talking about, you know, these 6-year guys, and I think we're getting to the end of the COVID era players right now, where you're talking about filing for medical red shirts that happened 4 years ago, then it gets a little ridiculous. But to me, if a quarterback wants to do that, and it's usually, you know, the more high-profile ones, we're talking about guys with legitimate NFL aspirations, it's fine to me because, hey, go put yourself in the best possible scenario to get to the league. But it's also a risk because, okay, now you may be looking at two or three straight years where you're in a different offensive system, you're learning different things, and then you're going to make the jump to the NFL where you have to go up to where that game is now. And we see, you know, a 40-year-old Philip Rivers out there like a traffic cop directing everything. And these young quarterbacks now, they don't have the leash to be able to learn and to be able to grow. So to me, it's always a risk. But like you said, we've seen so many success stories that it doesn't bother me at all, because ultimately it's given us a lot of great moments in the sport.
All right, something we haven't talked about, because we haven't, you know, discussed round one games and how they went. Our G5ers did not fare very well. And I looked at it, and both offenses, Tulane and James Madison, of course James Madison got the backdoor cover, a very ugly one, and Dan Lanning was not happy about that. But offensively, they moved the ball. James Madison had 493 yards. I think Tulane had 421 yards, even though they shot themselves in the foot multiple times, three turnovers, and I don't understand John Summerall on third and fourth and one trying to do a quarterback sneak when Ole Miss was just ready for it. Don't try to be tough against an SEC defensive front when you're Tulane, but that's neither here nor there. It felt like the offenses could move the ball, even though they shot themselves in the foot, but neither. The biggest defining factor to me between the haves and have-nots, the Oregons and James Madisons and the Tulanes and Ole Misses, is neither Tulane nor James Madison ever had a shot of getting a stop. Defensively, they have no shot.
No, they didn't. And to me, from a perspective, looking at the way everybody's talking about it right now, how the national discussion about this, you know, are those games worse because you thought they were going to be blowouts and they were blowouts? Or are the games we saw last year, like Ohio State, Tennessee, or Penn State, SMU, which were blowouts, does it make it better that you thought those games wouldn't be blowouts and then they were? Because we did see a lot of similar things where Tennessee kind of kept it close. It was 21-10 in the first half of that game last year, but then Ohio State just blew their doors off. We saw SMU keep it close in the first half and just repeatedly shoot themselves in the foot. So for me, like, yeah, the talent imbalance, that is what it is. We know what that is, and many people have complained about that. But was what we saw last week that much different from what we saw last year with not group of five teams, but legitimate power four, power five, whatever you want to call them, teams who got blown out?
Yeah, I'm with you. Now, you want to pick some games? You want to pick these round two games?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we'll start on New Year's Eve. We have Miami versus Ohio State. You're an Ohio State fan. They're 9.5-point favorites. A lot of people think that line's big, but when everyone thinks the line is big, that usually is not a recipe for being correct. But we'll see. I think Miami has the capability of beating Ohio State. I look at the Big Ten championship game. Julian Sayin got sacked five times by Indiana. It's the only game they lost, and we know Miami can get after the passer. And Reuben Bain Jr. was awesome in that A&M game. Three sacks, four TFLs. How do you see it?
I think, to me, just like what you said right there, that's the biggest key of the game. If Miami's front four, really front seven in that defense, can get after Julian Sayin and they can limit Ohio State on the ground and really harass them into just being like, you know what, we got to throw and we're going to bring heat every single down, and especially in those passing downs, that's where Miami has the best chance to win. I don't think that Miami, if Ohio State scores more than 25 points in this game or 24 points in this game, I think that's when it's probably looking pretty bleak for Miami, because as good as Texas A&M's defense is, we saw Miami and we've seen them all season in these high leverage games. Their offense just isn't built to be like that, even though they have a guy like Mark Fletcher, even though they have a guy like Malachi Toney on the outside. With Carson Beck, they just don't have that capability to be able to score. So if Miami is going to win this game, to me, it's going to have to be 24-21, 17-14 style of game, which, to your point, Indiana also kind of bullied Ohio State into playing as well. And for Ohio State, I don't think they can get into this trap they've gotten into all season and against Indiana, where for whatever reason they've just decided that they want to slow the game down, play at a snail's pace. I think, to me, they really got to air it out. They got to try to get Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith, who seem like they're finally fully healthy for the first time in at least a month. They got to try to air it out, and that's their best chance at backing up what Vegas has put as a line where it's like it's 9.5, and people are saying it's a lot of points, but like you said, when it's a lot of points, that's what usually happens.
My biggest worry for Miami is that Carson Beck, they're not going to be able to run the ball, in my opinion. That Carson Beck has to throw it 35 or 40 times, and he's going to throw picks. And if he throws picks, it's game, set, match for Miami, in my opinion.
Well, and if you're big matchup for Miami's offense against Ohio State defense on the field-wise is Carson Beck versus Caleb Downs. I like Ohio State's chances there, and I think that Matt Patricia probably has something cooked up for Carson Beck here.
Yeah, we have some disguises and blitz packages put in for Carson Beck, so he throws those back foot interceptions where he's just terrified of the pressure in his face. All right, moving on to the Orange Bowl, Oregon versus Texas Tech. Most intriguing to me, smallest line, Oregon 1.5-point favorites, but Texas Tech, like, I do not count them out at all. I feel like this team has a chance to win a national title this year. How do you feel?
I love this game. This is my favorite game of all of these, the quarterfinal games, because it does seem like the closest from a matchup perspective. And again, where you're going to see whoever wins or loses this game is going to be decided on the line. In particular, to me, it's that Texas Tech defensive line against Oregon's offensive line. And now you have all this kind of hype about Dante Moore being, you know, the guy who might be able to parlay this run into being QB1 in the next draft. This is the moment we're really going to see kind of where he's at and how he matches up against the defense with a guy I've talked about all year coming off the edge in David Bailey and then Jacob Rodriguez as well for Texas Tech. So to me, this one has the biggest potential to be like a slugfest, just your kind of old school 2008, 2009 SEC type of game where you're going to see whoever plays the best in the trenches win this game. So I'm really excited for this one.
Do you think Tech's offense is good enough to make a run?
I think they are, and I think that they're good enough against what is a solid Oregon defense. I think Oregon's defense is fine, and they really haven't had moments this season where they've looked terrible. So, to me, that is the biggest question mark of really all these games is what does Texas Tech's offense look like against this Oregon defense? That, to me, is kind of the unknown of this matchup where Texas Tech's defense has gotten so much credit, but we've kind of overlooked how solid their offense has been as well. But in a matchup like this, I don't know if they can go out and score 35 points. Again, this is another one where it might have to be one of those slugfest type of games, 17-14, 21-17 type of games wins you it.
And it feels like that game, it's like who spent the most – obviously they both have a bunch of money to spend on their roster. Who spent it the best? All right, now Rose Bowl, Alabama, Indiana. Indiana 7-point favorites. How much did the Alabama run against Oklahoma? Getting down 17-0 and then outscoring them 34-7 from there. How much did that do for you, for Alabama? Because down the stretch, they did not look great.
I think to me, I've been trying to balance since watching that game how much it was, wow, Oklahoma really imploded from the moment they dropped that deep pass, which would have made it 24-7, and then they faked the punt, which failed. And then Alabama, on the other side, just being resilient. And we've seen this a couple of times. We saw it against Auburn, where Alabama didn't look their best. They couldn't run the ball. But they kind of just stayed in the game. They let Auburn self-implode a little bit, and that's what Oklahoma did as well. And that may seem like it's something that's unsustainable when you play a team like Indiana, who's basically run through everybody except for Ohio State and Oregon on the road. But to me, they can hang in with Indiana, but ultimately Indiana's not going to beat themselves. Mm-hmm. Alabama's going to have to find a run game, which they haven't had for about 2 months now, and they're going to have to rely on the big plays and their receivers to make those big plays, which they did in the second half against Oklahoma. I just find it hard to believe that they're going to be able to do that against an Indiana team who is so sound.
Something I don't understand is how Alabama's run game stinks. I just don't get it. They have massive offensive linemen that are all 4 and 5 stars, all blue chip recruits. And, you know, like Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer, yes, they're known for slinging the ball around, but even at Washington, they had a decent run game. It's bizarre.
It's very east-west. Whenever the days of Alabama just pounding the ball down the field north are over, and we've seen that now basically all season where it's just been east-west, and you're, like, to your point, you're kind of confused about it. You have this mauling offensive line. You have running backs who have this high-level pedigree, and you just can't run the ball. They're getting hit behind the line of scrimmage. Guys aren't breaking tackles. They're not getting to the second level. And we have 14 pieces of evidence to it. So to me, like, if Alabama comes out and runs the ball, then kudos to them. But we've seen it now for almost 15 games of them not being able to do it. And I just find it hard to believe that they're now just going to be able to flip that switch against an Indiana front who's arguably been the best in the country this season.
All right, so full disclosure, I have Georgia winning it all, but the 3-6 matchup in the Sugar Bowl will be the late game on New Year's Day. Georgia's 6.5-point favorites against Ole Miss, who they beat during the regular season, but Ole Miss held a 2-score lead at one point in that game, and then Georgia sort of figured it out. I feel as if Georgia's defense is a little bit better than it was at that point, sort of in the midseason, but how do you feel?
I think the same way. This to me, funnily enough, with that Georgia defense, we saw that game end, 43-35.
Yep.
And I think that, I think that Georgia's defense has improved since that game. But that to me has some high shootout potential. We know what Ole Miss's offense can do. I think Georgia's offense is in a much better place than they were earlier in the season. They've kind of rounded into form. So to me, this is the one that has the most kind of excitement potential, and I think it's in the best spot, prime time, the last game of these two, and I think it's going to play out very similarly to their first matchup without probably a team getting a 14-point lead or a 2-score lead. I think this will be very back and forth, and I'm with you. I like Georgia, and I think that out of all these teams outside of Indiana, of course, they're kind of the one right now who has rounded into form. They're going to be healthy, and I think they're kind of at their highest level they've been in a long time.
All right, now corny Christmas takes to end this segment. You ready? We're going to go rapid fire.
Yeah, let's do it.
Best Christmas movie?
Oh, The Grinch, the animated one.
The Jim Carrey? No?
No, the cartoon.
But you don't, what about the Jim Carrey one? No love?
No, I'm out. The cartoon would be the one that we would watch every single year, and so for me, that's always the GOAT.
All right, best Christmas Eve dinner.
Ooh. Let's go with just some fried chicken.
Why okay, not? All right. The Chinese food is one that I've gotten a lot of, and, prime rib is for me. Don't cook a turkey. Just cook a turkey on Thanksgiving and then call it quits for the turkey. It's too dry. Fake or real tree?
If you have the space, real, fake. I have one in my apartment just because there's no way I'm going to put a damn real tree up in there and have to clean all that out January 7th.
Real trees are a pain in the ass. I'm all fake. I have two fake Christmas trees, believe it or not, for different sizes. White or color lights on said tree?
Oh, I can go with either. I think if you're going with a white tree, which seems to be like the new middle class move to do, which I don't like at all. I like the original. If you're going fake, go with the green tree. Go with the white lights. But if you're going to go with the multicolor lights, I'm cool with that too. I like either one of them.
Ideally, would you travel or stay home?
Travel, because I like to spend time with my family. So I'm going travel, and it's crazy because Colorado's been like 8 straight days of 65-plus degree weather, so it's not going to be a white Christmas this year. In California, it's just like torrentially in a downpour. So I'm fine with the travel this year, but I'm missing the snow.
All right, final thing, and I am so curious your answer on this because I know, one of these leagues you're not a huge fan of, but obviously, like, I pick one of these for nostalgia. NBA or NFL on Christmas?
NBA, man.
Yeah, I'm with NFL. You. It's surprising. I'm a football guy, and I'll be watching some of those games, but I don't like them stepping on the NBA's, day. bothers me.
And I don't even care. I don't even care that the Cowboys are playing. I don't want to watch the Cowboys, especially against the Commanders. I have no interest. I've been a good boy all year, Gabe, and my Christmas present should not be having to watch this stink-ass Cowboys team on Christmas on the road against the Commanders. I don't want anything to do with it. I want the end of the NFL season. I don't want them on Christmas. Give me the NBA and get the NHL back into my life. I'm ready for some non-pro football season here.
Yeah, and, you know, final thing, are you giving us some Christmas gifts on Two Stripes or with your YouTube channel?
Yes, sir. I had last night, I did a little surprise drop of Michael Vick the day he ran for 216 yards on Boston College and three touchdowns in 2000. And then I got a couple of bowl videos dropping over the course of the week. So if you go to youtube.com/Colton Denning, you can lock into that. I'm taking a little bit of a holiday break for Two Stripes, but as soon as we get to New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, those games, I'll have a recap of all that stuff, and then we're rolling right towards off season, man. So a bunch of cool stuff coming.
You're the man, Colt. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Enjoy all the football.
Yes, sir. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Yes, sir. He is Colton Denning, owner of Two Stripes CPD, and his own YouTube channel, youtube.com/Colton Denning. Go subscribe to both. He has great work out there. Best in the college football space. And I know we're getting to the end of the season, but we still have a lot of meaningful games in college football, and there's one place that you need to make it to here in the South. That would be Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. They have wall-to-wall screens, 20 HD TV screens to be exact. You'll be locked in, you'll get your bets in, and you're going to win. You're going to absolutely win. And the seating in there, they have a bunch of it, and it is plush, it's comfortable, it's better than being in your own living room. Whether you're all in on your favorite team or just love the thrill of big matchups in college football, Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica is the spot to feel every play, every score, and every win. Grab a seat, catch a game, place an order from their game day food menu right there from Guy Fieri's, and they have game day specials on Saturdays, $1 wings in multiple different flavors. So get in on the action, and you can also order a beer, which is always nice with football. It's simply game day done right, folks. Whoever you're rooting for, watch the game in comfort and style at Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. They have a full-service sports betting experience complete with in-game wagering, staff betting windows, and 10 self-betting kiosks, so you're always going to be able to lock in the bet of your choice. It's the ultimate in college football viewing experiences. If you want to get into the games, get in on the action, you need to get into Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. See you on Saturday. You must be 21 or older to gamble. Know when to stop before you start. And if you have a gambling problem, very simple, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we will hop into the Blitz right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Now, the biggest stories. Overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Michigan details regarding the ouster of Sherrone Moore have surfaced via the Detroit Free Press. Gabe, yeah, what do we have on that?
They're not good. They're not good, and we knew they weren't going to be good. We know the other details, but we don't know, like, we didn't know the interpersonal relationships, the workings of the staff and everything else. I'm just going to read a couple of excerpts from the story in the Detroit Free Press. They talked to an anonymous source to protect, in their anonymous because they want to protect their relationships and not go overboard.
Right.
So this is a real person, high-ranking university official, that said Sherrone wasn't even speaking to his coaches over the last recent couple of weeks, month. Apparently, the seed was seemingly planted when Moore overheard coaches discussing a potential recruit and quickly called a meeting. He didn't really like it. Wink Martindale was in there, the defensive coordinator, and Moore started the meeting by saying, "People are talking behind my back, and I need to figure out who it is." And he said, "You don't know what the F you're doing," talking about the recruit and trying to land him. Martindale retorted, saying, "Yeah, I'm just the old guy." And then apparently in the meeting, Sherrone Moore, and we know he's got some, you know.
Yeah.
He's struggling. But through tears, apparently, he slammed down papers, went to his office. But before he did that, he said, "You don't know how hard it is to be the head football coach and the pressure." Yeah, I understand that. But I feel like the pressure was certainly added by the fact that you had that relationship with a recruiting person and then ultimately fired her. And you didn't know what your future was going to hold. And you were hitting up OnlyFans models. You didn't handle the pressure well, yeah, we know there's pressure with it, but you were really bad at handling it. And you know what you could have done? You could have leaned on some of your assistants to help you, but instead you just stopped talking to them. And when you did talk to them, you got angry that they were talking behind your back. And the fact that this relationship with this recruiting staffer was known by the team, known by everybody, known by Michigan, dating back to like 2024 is really ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And Michigan and Ward Manuel, like, I wonder if they're going to have some court cases and NCAA sanctions in the sense that they screwed up the investigation and you know, waited to tell everybody, because that seems like something that could be potentially on the table. But it sounds like Sherrone Moore withdrew completely from the team and the staff, yeah, and everything else.
And that's crazy, too, thinking about it. I had completely forgotten the fact that Wink Martindale, mm-hmm, of all people, was, yeah, the defensive coordinator there. Man, that's a guy with a ton of NFL experience.
Yeah, don't know and the pressure. He doesn't know the pressure.
He doesn't know you don't know the pressure, man. You've never been in these shoes.
But he had a lot more life experience than you. You're 39, I'm 61, and I've been coaching a lot longer. And in pressure, yeah, situations, championships, everything else. It's ridiculous. And Sherrone Moore, I've talked about it before, he was just gifted that job because they wanted continuity after the Harbaugh era.
He
was truly the worst pick they could have made. Now, I want to get to bad picks.
Michigan job. What do you think right now? Biff Poggi is doing his best to try to angle himself in there. But here's my problem
Biff.
I love Biff. Hedge fund manager. He doesn't have to be coaching. He's
Biff's rich. A freak. I love him.
He's hilarious too, by the way. But the only thing that rubs me the wrong way about Biff, even though what he said yesterday about reevaluating everything is correct, and
there's going to have to be some changes.
I love what he's. If you removed everything I knew about Biff and he was in an interview and I'm Ward Manuel, I'd hire him on the spot for having said that. But I do know his history. He was the right-hand man of Jim Harbaugh. His words, this last 5 years of dysfunction, he was the right-hand man associate head coach for Sharon Moore for these last 2 years. It would be ridiculous to try to stabilize yourself using Biff, who was part of the staffs that completely imploded this program the past five. I love Biff, though.
The personality.
You can't distance yourself from it when you were right there the whole time.
Oh, absolutely.
You're the right-hand man of both of these coaches.
If that ends up being the pick, for one, I think that is a total failure by Michigan to actually go out and get really anybody. Like, to separate that program from...
Who can they get, though? Like, sitting head coaches.
Jed?
Jed's... I thought he already basically said he's out of the running, but who knows? You know, things happen. Kenny Dillingham's certainly out of
Kenny
it.
Kenny is out of it. My whole thing with Jed is that would be such a departure, though, from their ideas of grandeur when it comes to, who should be the Michigan coach? Because we know good and well, Jed Fish is a mercenary. That man has worked everywhere.
Yeah, but this would be a job if he had success. Though.
Jed Fish with Bryce?
Yeah, but he's got his own quarterback at Washington, too, DeMond. I like DeMond.
I like DeMond, but I really like Bryce.
I like Bryce. I believe in what Bryce could become, but DeMond's great, too. And Bryce, he struggled toward the end of the year down the stretch. But he's a true freshman.
With Biff. 2-0 with Biff.
But, yeah, who do you think they should hire? Is there any other names? It's quiet.
I think
maybe Biff could be the idea for year interim coach like they did at Stanford.
Right.
Because it's so late in the calendar.
It's so late in the calendar. There are so many guys that have already signed their extensions or have already gone to other places looking at Campbell
mm-hmm.
already having moved, even though that was pretty late in the cycle as well.
If he would have waited, do you think he would have taken the Michigan job over Penn State, Matt Campbell?
I would have.
Probably. Although I think any coach would look at what's going on there and all
That's a good point. There's so much dysfunction. This is might seem outdated to me or from me, but that just reeks of the hammer from NCAA coming down for lack of institutional control.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I know that's from a decade ago, but.
But still.
That's what would have happened.
What has happened there the last 5 years is a lack of institutional control. They have cheated and screwed up in more ways than one. I mean, it's been ridiculous. And they also have a co-OC. You remember, was it Matt Weiss? Who I think he got all the 10 aggravated identity theft charges.
Yes.
They were dismissed. But he was taking pictures for himself of female athletes at Michigan.
Gross.
It's insane. It's just insane gross. What was going on there. What has been going on there.
James Nagy, the 31st overall pick in the 2023 NBA draft, has enrolled at Baylor.
7 foot center.
Gabe, your thoughts?
We've lost the plot. And now he hasn't played college ball. I get that. He was an overseas guy. But he was basically
the man got drafted.
He was a pseudo first round pick. He was the first pick of the second round, and
the man has played how many summer leagues?
We can't do this. We have now just set in motion one of the worst possible things we could do to college basketball, in the sense that we are allowing eligibility to guys that should not have eligibility at all. But listen, the NCAA has no teeth. We're all over the place. We don't have a set of rules that makes sense for everybody, and here we are. Like, the G Leaguers bothered me, but this it was G League Ignite, guys, who, you know, and the G League Ignite is defunct. Like,
sure,
it was a hard pill to swallow, but I could,
like, the background of that, you're thinking, okay, a lot of these guys got into that program, and it was a full-on program.
Yes.
It wasn't just, oh, we're just...
And then they ended it.
And then they ended the program. Okay, I can understand.
Didn't like it, but...
But there's a little bit more there. There's some substance there that I can be like, you know what? I don't love it, but it is what it is. James Nnaji is an NBA draft pick. He's already been selected in the draft. He's already been passed over by multiple NBA franchises. He has played in more than one summer league with an NBA franchise. And I understand all of these guys coming from Europe are professional ball players.
Sure.
I get that. That's all well and good. And not like this.
Could he get drafted again? Like, that's wild.
I don't see why not.
Yeah. If he plays well enough.
Well.
Good big for Baylor. They need bigs. But it's just, stop. We're all over the place. I can't handle it. I really can't.
It's too much. Arkansas State quarterback Jalen Rayner has entered the transfer portal with a year of eligibility left. Last season totaled 3,784 yards, 26 scores, and 11 interceptions.
Dual threat guy.
Big dual threat guy. Thoughts? Do you think...
Why do you think I brought this up? Why do you think I added this to the Blitz?
Because you don't want that man at Memphis. You need him.
I need me some Jalen Rayner playing in the Liberty Bowl. That's what I need. And listen, Colton Joseph from Old Dominion, I know that the Memphis brought in his OC, Kevin Decker, and he had a good, you know, run with him. And he's got 2 years of eligibility as opposed to Jalen Rayner's, but 1 year. But at the same time, like, Colton Joseph, I saw a prediction for Florida State. He's going to get high power four offers, and will he pick Memphis over those? I don't necessarily know. I think they're going to be in on Colton Joseph, who ran for 1,000 yards at Old Dominion this year and threw for 2,600. But I think that's a little bit more of a pipe dream. Jalen Rayner's very attainable for 1 year. He's looking for a bit of a bag, and he can run, he can throw. And what did Charles Huff say at his opening presser? We want a dual threat guy who can put pressure on a defense. Jalen Rayner is that guy. Now, the talent he could play with at Memphis, I mean, it kills what he's had at Arkansas State. Now, I know he's lost a lot of games at Arkansas State, but, you know, Brendan Lewis was not
a winner at Nevada.
He won, or Colorado. He won, like, very minimal games, and he was very good for this team. If he would have stayed healthy, I would have, you know, enjoyed what this team would have looked like. But Jalen Rayner, that's a very attainable name. I don't know if he's going to get, like, the high power four offers. I mean, he could get, like, a couple of, like, lower level power four offers.
Right.
But Memphis would be a good landing spot. It's also in this general area. He's become used to it. So there's that. I will say this, though. Charles Huff played against him at Arkansas State this year, and he threw four picks. So maybe Charles Huff is like, well, I saw him play, and I don't know. That's something you need to look at with, like, transfers.
That's
like the
true.
Penny Hardaway handshake for all the AAC guys he had on last year's team, P.J. Haggerty.
Yeah.
You know, Charles Huff could have done that, but he did throw four picks, Jalen Rayner. And they lost the game. And they would have won the game had he thrown, like, one less pick. It was 27-21, Southern Miss. But maybe that's a sign that Southern Miss has some good DBs. Who knows? And they could come
to Memphis. Didn't Southern Miss, like, lead the country in, like, interceptions?
Yeah, in interceptions. 21.
Pretty good
but
DBs.
But they gave up yards. They gave up yards, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ball hawking. It's fun.
Yeah, but
fun defense.
That's a name to look at. And 21 new starters is what this roster is going to have next year. And I think you have to worry about quarterback first. Without quarterback, nothing else works.
That's number one.
Yep, and he's experienced. I feel like he could be a fit. Like, it would be interesting to see.
Is there no shot of a return from any of the quarterbacks that have left?
Arrington, Maiden, maybe. He said he'd keep his options open.
That's the one that I'm looking at.
The AJ Hill one burns because they paid him so much, and it's a miss. And the people that donated the money to ultimately get him here are like, oh, no return on investment. Zero. He lost us the UAB game. But I guess there's
an
opportunity.
Is there one as much of a miss as it is, like, just a ton of things that went wrong for a young quarterback to be the guy
yeah.
happened kind of at the same time. Like, obviously, Ryan playing, not necessarily for his job, but for future jobs with Brendan Lewis, things like that, wanting to keep a veteran voice there, and then with him ultimately leaving, I'm not super surprised that young quarterback enters the portal.
Yeah, and they're going to have to fill out the whole quarterback room. So you may have a full-on open competition, but you need to bring in a guy who's proven. You need to go to the transfer portal, bring in a guy who's proven. All right, now, before we get done with the blitz, you know I have to give you get these Christmas takes off. I want to hear it. Real or fake tree? What do you got?
We have done both. We have certainly done both in the past. I personally prefer a fake tree.
Okay. Didn't you tell me?
I did tell you. One of my sisters is allergic to the needles.
So, yeah, but I hate picking up the pine needles, man. They're the worst.
And then, like, if you get, like, a real a tree that's way too sappy.
Yeah.
And then it's a pain to clean up.
Yeah.
The sap.
But I guess that, you know, people swear by it. I have two fake trees.
The smell is great. Don't get me wrong.
I have two fake trees.
We have two.
Yeah. One with lights built in, one that we dress up. This year, with everything going on, we just put up the one with the lights built in. Yeah.
I should ask you.
And by the way, on that tree, color or white lights?
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. I prefer the white lights, but I also very much prefer the options. Some of these trees now you can switch between white and color.
Yeah, that's what mine is.
Yeah.
I prefer the color lights. My wife, I don't get my way though.
I kind of figured.
Yeah. White lights are
strobe lights.
Always shining on that tree. All right, now let's go ahead and grab a break. On that note, when we come back, we will we'll rewind right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now, it's the Rewind on 92.9. What's the biggest game tonight? Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Nothing in particular tonight, but coming up tomorrow for Christmas Day, you're going to have a bunch of NFL games, three in particular, Netflix. That'll be fun. We'll see how that works.
Two on Netflix.
Two on Netflix. And then also you're going to have all the NBA Christmas Day games. I have to ask your final, this is final Christmas take.
All right.
NBA or NFL on Christmas?
It's easy. NBA.
All day. It's nostalgic. It's nostalgic. And the old commercials where they had the Jingle Bells and James Harden and Kevin Durant knocking down. I mean, it's great. It's great. And I remember the LeBron James, you know,
jersey.
Yeah, where he was trying to pull. I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome. And I hate that the NFL has tried to rain on their parade. Hate it.
Fast forward.
I will not be in until the new year on the 5th. On the 5th. So, George, you ready to handle you and Connor next week?
We'll have it locked down. Don't you worry.
It'll be a great time. They'll talk CFP. They'll have great guests. It'll be phenomenal. But that's a wrap for today. Thanks to you out there for listening on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, by the way. And thanks to my wonderful guests, David Cobb and Colton Denning, for the contributions to today's show. We'll meet back here. Well, actually, I won't meet you back here, but George and Connor will meet you back here on Monday. In the meantime, we'll go ahead and pass you off to Amber and Ian. For George, I'm Gabe. Easy, be safe, and enjoy your holiday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.